I chose my friends carefully. The more politically active black students, the foreign students, the Chicanos, the Marxist professors and structural feminists and punk rock performance poets. We smoked cigarettes, attended classes sparingly, drank beer heavily, and tried drugs enthusiastically. At night in the dorms we discussed neocolonialism, Frantz Fanon, Eurocentrism, and patriarchy. And if the high didn't solve whatever it was that was getting you down, it could at least help you laugh at the world's ongoing folly and see through all the hypocrisy and bullshit.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
I don't know if liquor is my friend, so I certainly can't tell you if it's yours. And all most people know about me is getting on stage and doing poems to oohs and ahs, and they see me selling product afterwards but have no idea how much hell the buying costs, and they're thinking that I'm fortunate but don't realize that, like a prison, I spend most of my life just staring at walls, and they love to see my name mangled and slowly drug across floors, and they don't talk to me, they talk about me, they think I'm getting over so they try to out me, they ain't even half clear on half the things I pioneer, and so they endeavor to doubt me, and I work in a cobweb filled nocturne full of rusty screeching machines that churn my pain into gain for the listeners, and I pace a giant muddy floor with hints of piss and blood, and God only knows how many levels above. Poets get jealous because of what my gift does. They're oblivious to my suffering, and thus they're just upset that I get love. And I return to my nocturne, back to the churning machines, and grip the neck of a fifth of whiskey in my fist as I pace in betwixt and between. And contrary to what aspiring poets believe, liquor never helped me write anything, and Sesame never helped Bob Marley write a song, and Skag never helped Charlie Parker or Billie Holiday steep the magic strong, and Free Bass never helped Marvin Gaye or Richard Pryor get their original light back. The gift, just be the gift, and the pact, just be the pact. And those who ain't signed on for the misery think they could just emulate and act. They want to emote the pain without the racks. They want to spit the blood into the crowd without the axe. They want to speak history without the facts. They want to be a mystery without the mask. But they don't want to go to that nocturne where them churning machines can churn anything into everything. They can churn a troubled soul through a refinery, churn scars through a wedding ring. But they don't want the horror. They just want to be king. When heavy is the head that wears the crown, when the living won't raise you up and the dead won't pull you down, and 85% point up to the airheads, when your own head's density keeps you underground, to struggle and toil amongst the souls and the bones of all the previous ones, until you can no longer engineer the mechanics of the question, how do you drown your demons, son?
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
The World This Week, the U.S. Embassy overrun in Iran.
The demonstration has been peaceful and no one has been hurt.
The government overrun in La Paz.
The United States has suspended its assistance programs with Bolivia.
Buddhist monks mourn Park Chung-hee. Representative Kelly rails at the Chrysler bailout.
The Chrysler charity is the most blatant con job in our time.
And Senator Baker announces, saying Carter or Kennedy, no problem.
I can absolutely guarantee you that I can beat either man in November of 1980.
I'm David Jackson, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. For some time, Iran's religious leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, has been blaming the United States for all of Iran's problems. Early Sunday, with the Ayatollah's blessing, a group of Iranian students rushed the U.S. embassy and inside took some 100 hostages, all the while promising to treat their captives well. The demands?
We want to send Shah back to Iran. We want our government to cut their relations with the American government.
The Shah is undergoing cancer treatment at a New York hospital. Bolivia's brief experience with democracy ended Thursday in a coup, the 201st in that nation's 175-year history. An Army Colonel, Natush, moved in. The U.S., through State Department spokesman Tom Reston, left no doubt where it stands.
The United States is following these events with deep concern and would deplore any disruption in Bolivia's democratic process.
And the U.S. cut off all aid, some $65 million worth. There is internal opposition in Bolivia. Labor leaders have called a general strike. Students and workers clash with government troops almost daily. The World This Week continues in 1 minute.
What in the World Happened in November? Brought to you by your local Navy recruiter. November is admissions day for North Carolina, admitted in 1789, North and South Dakota, Montana, and Washington in 1889, and Oklahoma, admitted in 1907. The U.S. Marine Corps celebrates its 204th anniversary this month. The first balloon flight took place in November of 1783 over Paris, France. The first transcontinental airplane flight was completed in November of 1911 by C.P. Rogers, flying from New York to California in just over 82 hours. The title of Director of Naval Aeronautics was established by the U.S. Navy in November of 1914. Navy Commander Richard E. Byrd made the first flight over the South Pole in November 1929. In November of 1973, President Nixon authorized construction of the Alaskan oil pipeline. That's what happened in November, brought to you by your local Navy recruiter.
The Chrysler Corporation got a boost this week, the White House proposing $1.5 billion in loan guarantees to help put the company back on its financial feet. The plan must pass Congress, and Representative James Blanchard, a Michigan Democrat, says it's well worth the gamble.
I think we would be playing Russian roulette with tens of thousands of jobs. I don't know anyone who studied this who thinks that Chrysler would survive if we don't come up with some sort of aid package.
But Republican Richard Kelly of Florida doesn't see it quite that way.
The Chrysler bailout is a ripoff of the American worker, American industry, and the taxpayer and the consumer.
The President's Commission on the Nuclear Accident at Three Mile Island reported this week, its chairman, John Kemeny, saying the group found enough blame for all, starting with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. The commission recommended a complete revamping of the NRC, but said no matter what is done, there can never be a system to ensure the complete safety of nuclear power plants. Missing from the report, a freeze on new plant construction that drew the wrath of many nuclear opponents.
Workers at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant have found a new leak of radioactive water. The problem was discovered on Saturday at a barrier that surrounds wastewater storage tanks. Workers found a puddle of contaminated water roughly 1 square meter in size beyond a barrier near the number 4 reactor. They tried to contain the leak with sandbags. Plant operator Tokyo Electric Power Company detected 140 becquerels per liter of radioactive strontium. The utility says the leak occurred near a valve used to drain water from inside the barrier, but the valve was closed. TEPCO officials say no contaminated water reached the ocean. Engineers at the plant say some joints in the barrier may be responsible for the leak. The barrier is made up of concrete blocks bound by metal that is either bolted or welded.
Right now I am going to peel back an onion, a stinky, hairy onion. Instead of making you cry, this onion is going to make you angrier and angrier with each layer that I peel off. First layer, United States Postal Service. They're broke. Try to make ends meet. They have to sell off hundreds of post office properties to try to gain some cash flow and reduce their deficit. On a side stinky layer, 80% of this Postal Service's multi-billion dollar deficit is caused by a law that Congress passed in 2006 that requires it to pay retiree health benefits 75 years into the future.
You've got to come back with me.
Where?
Back to the Future.
They're paying for people that they haven't even hired yet. This law, it doesn't apply to any other government agency but the Postal Service. So, according to a Postal Service report to Congress, more than 600 buildings nationwide are earmarked for disposal. This alone is making people across the country angry because some of these post offices are historic buildings that have been post offices for almost 100 years. It's your post office and you don't want anybody else to have it. Such is the case in Berkeley, California and La Jolla, California. Residents have been working to get their post offices historic status to avoid closure. Residents there have reached out to their favorite state senator, Dianne Feinstein, but they haven't heard back from her. A representative from Dianne Feinstein's office said that they have contacted the state preservation office to check on all their submissions, and their reply was, the paperwork for those buildings, it wasn't filled out correctly. They would have to correct it and resubmit the paperwork. That, right there, leads us to the biggest stinky layer of this onion, Dianne Feinstein. The company that was awarded the contract to sell all of the postal properties is C.B. Richard Ellis, or CBRE, the world's largest commercial real estate firm. The chairman of CBRE is a man by the name of Richard Blum. Doesn't ring a bell? Well, he just happens to be Dianne Feinstein's husband.
Disturbing scenario that the winner in all of this could very well be the drug dealer. So how does Ottawa stop that from happening? It may want to keep an eye on Uruguay. It's close to becoming the first nation to legalize marijuana. Just today, the head of Uruguay's drug board said his country's proposed law would effectively kill the black market. It all boils down to the money, and Uruguay plans to sell regulated marijuana at just $1 a gram. Right now, Health Canada projects its regulated prices between $8 and $12 a gram.
Is the twisted, mangled and burnt wreck of a plane in the States after colliding mid-air with another aircraft and forcing its skydiving passengers to jump for their lives in what could be described as the ultimate thrill-seeker's experience. Skydiver Barry Sinex knows all too well what it's like to make that leap and why.
As skydivers, we live for the excitement, but tonight was a little bit over the top. We had a couple airplanes that decided to take up the same airspace as we were climbing out.
The 11 people from Wisconsin were traveling in two planes at 12,000 feet when what started off as an adventure quickly turned into a terrifying mid-air disaster, forcing all of those on board to leap to safety. For those forced to evacuate the plane, like Mike Robinson, horror quickly turned to protecting themselves from the burning debris falling around them.
You hear this tremendous loud bang,
You see the wing come off, you see it on fire, and it's, you know, right there. It's 5 feet from you. And the concern that I had and all of us had watching the wings is they just sort of float around in the air. And so we're all falling at about 120 miles an hour down. They're still floating above us on fire, and so we need to just make sure that we're not directly below them, although they float all over too. So, you know, all of us are watching it all the way to the ground.
The heir to the British throne, the Prince of Wales, and his wife, the Duchess of Cornwall, are in India on a nine-day tour. On their first day, the royal couple offered prayers during a sacred Hindu ceremony on the banks of the River Ganges. Katrina Moe has the details. Just a warning, there is flash photography throughout.
It's one of the most ancient Hindu rituals. On the banks of the River Ganges in Rishikesh, the Prince of Wales and Duchess of Cornwall witness offerings being made to the God of Fire, performed on this occasion for world peace and environmental preservation. This is the royal couple's first stop in their nine-day tour of India. In a water blessing ceremony, they made an offering before a large globe with water taken from the Ganges. The prayer here is for all creatures to have access to sufficient and safe water. The Hindu guru, Swami Chidanand Saraswati, led the royals through the sacred ceremonies. He's also the founder of an organization involving scientists and environmentalists to clean the water and banks of the Ganges. The theme of the offering and prayers were poignant to Prince Charles, as his main interests include preservation and raising awareness of the dangers facing the natural environment. The royal couple completed the evening in a ritual of light, the Aarti ceremony. It's performed by worshippers every day at sunset, regardless of the weather, thanking God for giving daylight.
But she wasn't impressed. No. She wasn't impressed at all. She whispered in my ear. She whispered in my ear, she said. You wanna get lucky, little boy? Well, I smiled. I smiled and I said,
unbelievable surveillance video of a flash mob. Several people dashing into store after store and ripping them off. They're running out with armloads and sometimes entire racks of sporting goods. It's happening at three different Sports Authority stores in the Chicago area. CBS2's Brad Edwards is live at the Lakeview store with the story of flash mob mayhem. Brad.
Yeah, good evening, Rob. Here, Frankfurt, Burbank, all within the past week. In this 'tis the season to shop. Add to your wish list, you don't want to run into one of these. Monday, Burbank. A few ticks shy of 1 p.m., five individuals enter, and soon, they're off. Angle 2, rack after rack loaded with new apparel out the door. An employee gives chase. Saturday, Clark Street. A half dozen enter, and flash, several racks, lightning speed, gone.
What would you do?
Those we spoke with weren't quite sure what to think.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
It does. The store chain sounding the siren, saying, quote, at Sports Authority, the comfort and safety of our employees and customers always remain our top priority. It's like a next generation flash mob.
They used to just be fun. They used to just be positive, and now they, I don't know, it seems to be turned to something negative.
No one hurt in the three incidents, though it's clear the mob stops for no one. A close look again here, an employee who tries to intercede gets trampled. Clerk down on Clark.
And so far, no arrests. Sports Authority now offering $5,000 to information that does lead to an arrest or arrests.
At West, the long arm of the war is reaching out and closing in on you, you screwy wabbit.
Frustrated with his increased workload and a litany of interpersonal problems, CLG software project manager William Garston brought a list of grievances Thursday to his supervisor Todd Watkins, an utterly powerless office functionary with no actual ability to resolve any problems.
Oh, no. I'm really glad that you're bringing this to me. This is great.
The 15-minute interaction, which was taken seriously by both parties, involved Garston laying out a series of work-related issues he's had recently, absolutely none of which Watkins has even the slightest authority to address.
Again, I'm sorry to be bothering you with all this stuff, Todd. I've reached a point where this is important. We're gonna sort all this out.
Sources added that throughout the conversation, Watkins continually nodded his head and repeatedly assured Garston that his problems would be considered a top priority, despite the fact that he lacked the necessary clout to foster any change whatsoever within the company.
And again, this is all very important, and I'm happy you spoke up about it.
Thanks, Todd.
You know, it's just nice to have someone like Todd involved if there's any sort of issue. He told me he was bringing all this to Steve's attention as soon as he could.
Watkins has yet to bring any of this to Steve's attention, and likely never will.
All right, so we've got some video in-house, the kind of video that just makes you shake your head. So stop what you're doing, come over to the TV and watch this. Surveillance footage just came out showing a cop tasering a woman. Take a look. It appears she mouths off to the cop and apparently spits at him. He then tasers her at close range, all while her hands are cuffed behind her back. As she tries to walk away, the cop continues to circle her with the taser still raised. Well, an ACLU member questions why the officer tasered the woman in the first place.
Spitting in the face or on a police officer is inexcusable. The only justification for him tasering her would have been if somehow she was able to physically attack him in some way that looked capable of actually injuring him seriously. I don't know how she could have done that with her hands cuffed behind her back.
All right, so this incident happened in June after the woman was arrested for public intoxication. She later filed a complaint against the officer. He was suspended and ordered to go through more taser safety training.
Hush now, don't explain, there ain't nothing to gain, I'm glad that you're back. Explain. Quiet, baby. Don't explain. There is nothing to gain.
Said this once or twice, but it bears repeating. And you can keep your plan if you are satisfied with it.
If you like the plan you have, you can keep it.
If you like your plan and you like your doctor, you won't have to do a thing. You keep your plan. If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan. If you've got health insurance, you can keep it. If you like your health care plan, you will keep your plan. If you've got health insurance, you like your doctor, you like your plan, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan.
If you have insurance that you like, then you will be able to keep that insurance. If you like your doctor or healthcare plan, you can keep it.
If you like your healthcare plan, you can keep your healthcare plan. If you like your healthcare plan, you can keep your healthcare plan.
If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your healthcare plan, you can keep your health care plan.
If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep it. If you want to keep the health insurance you got, you can keep it.
If you like the insurance plan you have now, you can keep it.
And if you like your insurance plan, you will keep it.
So if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your plan, keep your plan. If you like your current insurance, you will keep your current insurance. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan.
If you're happy with what you got, nobody's changing it.
I think he misremembers.
Skip that lipstick. Don't explain. You know that I love you and what love endures. All my thoughts are of you, for I'm so completely yours. Don't wanna hear folks chatter, 'cause I know you cheat. Right and wrong don't matter when you're with me, my sweet.
Two high-ranking U.S. Navy officers are under investigation tonight in a widening bribery scandal. NBC's Kristen Welker has that story for us tonight.
Two high-ranking naval officers, Vice Admiral Ted Branch, Director of Naval Intelligence, and Rear Admiral Bruce Loveless, the Director of Intelligence Operations, have had their access to classified information suspended and have been placed on temporary leave. In a statement, the Navy says the decision was in connection with an ongoing Naval Criminal Investigative Service investigation into illegal and improper relations with Leonard Francis. Leonard Francis, known as Fat Leonard, owns a Singapore-based company that provides dockside service to Navy warships. Federal prosecutors have accused Francis of bribing Navy officials. He allegedly showered them with cash, prostitutes, even Lady Gaga tickets in exchange for business. Retired Navy Vice Admiral Terry McKnight has never met Francis, but says the businessman is well known.
You know, he's a bigger-than-life figure. He comes across as, I can help you out, but it appears that he's done a little bit more than just try to help us out.
Hush now, don't explain. Don't you know you're my joy and you're my pain? My life is yours, love. All my thoughts are of you, for I'm so completely yours. Don't want to hear nobody chatter, 'cause I know you cheat. Right and wrong don't matter when you're with me, my sweet.
Yes, I have smoked crack cocaine.
No,
do I? Am I an addict? No.
When have
I tried it? Probably in one of my drunken stupors, probably approximately about a year ago.
After admitting he smoked crack cocaine last year, Toronto's mayor, Rob Ford, apologizes for the incident.
With today's announcement, I know I embarrassed everyone in this city, and I will be forever sorry.
Insisting that he is staying in the post and would run for office again next year.
I was elected to do a job, and that's exactly
what I'm going to continue doing. We live in a democracy. And on October 27th of 2014, I want the people of this great city to decide whether they want Rob Ford to be their mayor. Again, I sincerely apologize.
Hush now, don't explain. You're my joy, you're my pain. My life is yours, love. Don't explain.
Rob Ford is clinging on to his job as Toronto mayor after a series of revelations. Now, another video has surfaced that is making that a lot harder.
Brother, you've never seen me f*** like that. You think so, brother? But when he's down there, I'll rip his f***ing throat out, I'll pull his eyes out, I will f***. When he's dead, I'll make sure that motherf***er's dead. I need f***ing 10 minutes to make sure he's dead.
The expletive-laden video, apparently secretly filmed, captures Ford ranting and pounding his hands together. The context of the video is unclear. When was this? Who was he talking to? Who was he talking about? Questions left unanswered as he faced reporters minutes after it surfaced online.
Very, very inebriated. And,
Who was the target of the threat?
All I can say is, again, I've made mistakes. These, all I can do is reassure the people that I don't know what to say. Mayor Ford, do you need help?
Your colleagues want you to go away. Why won't you go away?
You know what? I just wanted to come out and tell you that I saw a video. It's extremely embarrassing. The whole world's going to see it. I, you know what? I don't have a problem with that, but it is extremely embarrassing.
Is he trying to get help, Mayor?
Obviously, I was extremely, extremely inebriated.
The questions over seeking help may not have been addressed, but they'll have been heard. Ford has previously admitted to being drunk at public events.
It is said when you see someone who looks like they don't feel very well, you say, "My goodness, you look like death eating a cracker." Or if they look really bad, you say, "You look like Beth eating a cracker walking backwards."
So something truly insane just happened in the House of Representatives. And in order to really understand this insanity, we have to take an unpleasant but mercifully brief trip down memory lane. One of the biggest moments of the 2008 financial crisis fun times was the near collapse and eventual bailout of a company called AIG, and the risky behavior that pushed AIG to the brink and eventually forced the taxpayers to bail their sweet asses out to the tune of $85 billion was a financial instrument known as derivatives trading. Since there's not enough time to explain or apparently learn how to pronounce derivatives in this video, I'll link some sources for you in the description. The important thing to remember is that nobody from Occupy Wall Street to the Tea Party was thrilled with the idea that the taxpayer should be on the hook every time Wall Street gambles itself into a corner. So in 2010, when Congress decided to pass a new set of financial regulations known as Dodd-Frank, they included a provision that basically said, you can't get a bailout for certain kinds of derivatives.
Just certain kinds, not even all of them. And this brings us back to the insanity that I was talking about all the way 1 minute ago. Because the House of Representatives just passed a bill that would get rid of this no bailouts for derivatives rule. This didn't happen because of some massive public demand. Most Americans haven't even heard of derivatives trading, let alone asked their congressmen to deregulate it. This happened because big banks wrote this bill. Literally. That's not some cute turn of phrase or an exaggeration. 70 of the 85 lines in this bill reflect recommendations made in a piece of model legislation written by lobbyists for Citigroup, another bank that played a major role in the 2008 financial crisis and also required billions of federal stimulus dollars in return for not blowing up the world economy. Two crucial paragraphs in the bill the House eventually passed were copied almost word for word from the Citigroup version. It's the congressional equivalent of copying a term paper from Wikipedia if Wikipedia was also paying your tuition. Members of the House received $22.4 million in campaign contributions from interest groups in support of this bill. That's nearly six times more than they received from interest groups opposed. Contribution data also shows that donors with Wall Street ties are major sources of campaign funding for the bill's sponsor and six of the eight co-sponsors. Then there's House Financial Services Chair Jeb Hensarling. Sarling, whatever. He's the guy who helped whisk the bill through committee, and I swear this is true, spent a posh weekend partying it up with Wall Street lobbyists in Park City, Utah, on a ski vacation. They go skiing together! I could go on about how Wall Street has spent $50 million on lobbying expenditures in 2013 alone, or how one of the co-sponsors of this bill, Representative Jim Hines of Connecticut, used to work on Wall Street as an executive for Goldman Sachs. But I think most of you are already noticing a theme developing here. At a time when economic growth is still stagnant and there's issues to deal with, from the national debt to the fact that one in five children in this country is still born into poverty, your intrepid congressmen are instead working on this. Your House of Representatives just passed a bill designed to roll back protections put in place after the last financial crisis that was literally written by lobbyists for the people who caused the last financial crisis. This bill was sponsored by a bipartisan group, five Republicans and four Democrats, and all of them depend on Wall Street to fund their campaigns. Journalists and pundits may continue to dance around the issue with euphemisms like insider culture or influence peddling, but this wholesale purchase of the legislative process by special interests reveals a much more urgent truth. Our government has become a place where fundraising takes priority over the public good. Our government feels more accountable to those who bankroll its members than to the people it was elected to represent. Our government is corrupt. And it's time we did something about it.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
To Pakistan now, a country on high alert right now as the Taliban vows revenge and mobilizes to nominate a new leader. This after a U.S. drone attack took out their leader there on Friday. Hakimullah Massoud was responsible for the deaths of thousands in Pakistan and has been linked to one of the deadliest attacks on the CIA. Let's get right to NBC's Duncan Golestani from London with the very latest. So, Duncan, who was Massoud and how are the Pakistanis reacting to news of this drone attack?
Hey Alex, well there's been widespread anger among Pakistanis, not just on the streets and from, but also from political leaders. The Prime Minister's office said it would be reviewing its relationship with the United States, and they're angry because the government had been trying to enter into peace talks with the Taliban.
He was one of America's most wanted. Feared for his ruthless and daring attacks, Hakimullah Massoud was the leader of the Pakistani Taliban. The group's attacks killed thousands of Pakistanis, but Massoud also targeted Americans, believed to have been behind the failed car bombing in Times Square in 2010. And he was linked to one of the deadliest attacks against the CIA. Here is Massoud with the suicide bomber, who blew himself up inside a US base in Afghanistan, killing the station chief and six others.
Thank you.
Despite the terror Massoud inflicted on his country, news of another drone attack has angered ordinary Pakistanis and their government too. Officials were due to begin peace talks with the Taliban this weekend.
The efforts have been ambushed.
It further complicates the difficult relationship between Pakistan and the United States, already strained after the covert raid in Abbottabad that killed Osama bin Laden. Less than 2 weeks ago, Pakistan's Prime Minister urged President Obama to end drone strikes in his country. Meanwhile, the Pakistani Taliban has vowed revenge for Massoud's killing and is believed to be choosing a new leader.
Even though the killing of Massoud represents a hard blow to the Pakistani Taliban, the war will go on.
There now seems to be some internal debate among Taliban factions about who to choose as a leader. One contender is thought to be a commander from the Swat Valley whose men shot and wounded the schoolgirl Malala Yousafzai last year.
Negotiations between the U.S. and Iran are taking place in Geneva in an effort to relieve some of the worst economic sanctions that have had against the Islamic Republic. Even though a deal has yet to be hammered out, this is still huge. It's the first time in over 30 years that leaders from these two countries are having direct talks. However, Israel's Bibi Netanyahu is not as delighted. Despite the fact that this deal is far from finished, he's been very vocal in his opposition to the U.S. negotiating with Iran at all.
Iran got the deal of the century, and the international community got a bad deal. This is a very bad deal. Israel utterly rejects it, and what I'm saying is shared by many, many in the regions, whether or not they express it publicly. Israel is not obliged by this agreement, and Israel will do everything it needs to do to defend itself and to defend the security of its people.
All right, we get it, Bibi. You want to acknowledge that the deal, even if it is made, but amidst the Geneva talks about Iran's nuclear program, several media outlets have been running a very interesting story. One that suggests Saudi Arabia is one step away, just one step away from getting their hands on a nuclear bomb. Thank you.
right. The BBC reported earlier this week that according to a senior NATO official, Saudi Arabia has already paid Pakistan for nuclear weapons. The BBC alleges these weapons are ready for delivery, citing the former head of Israeli military intelligence, Amos Yadlin, who says that if Iran got the bomb, quote, the Saudis will not wait 1 month. They will go to Pakistan and bring what they need to bring. So basically, this is a threat, because according to Israeli intelligence, if Iran gets a bomb, Saudi Arabia is soon to follow. Oh my God, so now we have to worry about a tyrannical theocracy having nuclear weapons too? Well, don't freak out just yet. It's important to note that this nuclear news hasn't been confirmed yet by the Saudi government. In fact, the Saudi embassy in London reminded the BBC in a statement that the kingdom is a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and is working for a nuclear-free Middle East. Pakistan's foreign minister also denied the claims, calling the BBC report speculative, mischievous, and baseless. Trying to defend Pakistan or Saudi Arabia. What I am saying is that it seems highly unlikely that either nation would risk the diplomatic blowback of transferring these weapons. So how did a story that seems like a bunch of hearsay and speculation manifest in the first place? Well, that starts to become clear when you consider the timing of the story. Remember, right now there are highly significant talks going on in Geneva about nuclear proliferation. And the potential peace deal is not sitting well with Israel nor Saudi Arabia, apparently. See, according to former State Department official Mark Fitzpatrick, it is conceivable that Saudi Arabia planted some of the evidence for this story as a means for putting pressure on the U.S. to be firm in dealing with Iran. Also, the fact that this intelligence was initially gathered from Israel precisely at the time of the Geneva talks seems more than just a coincidence. After all, who would benefit most to have media outlets running a story fear-mongering the U.S. into taking a harder line over these negotiations? Yes, Israel. And guess what country already has an arsenal of nuclear weapons, who already kickstarted a regional arms race, and has time and time again belligerently refused to comply with any non-proliferation treaty. Proliferation treaty, I cannot say that word. I think you get the point. Twist the truth to fit your agenda. Meanwhile, all eyes away from the real peace to turn in the Middle East. That's the real weapon of mass distraction. Thank you.
Millions of people across Africa and the Middle East caught a rare glimpse of a partial solar eclipse on Sunday. The event was initially visible in the US before moving east across the Atlantic Ocean towards Africa. Locals in Abidjan in the Ivory Coast watched through closed fingers and sunglasses, while Senegalese residents in Dakar seemed unbothered by the rare event. In Nigeria, schoolchildren were shown the scene through a specially set-up telescope that projected the image onto a box that made it safe to look at, while others used special sunglasses for watching instead. The Nigerian Space Research and Development Director General, Seydou Analu Mohammed, said he wanted to appeal to citizens that might mistake the happening for a mystical event.
The important aspect of it is the fact that that too would demystify the miseries attached to these things in the past. Various religious groups have different interpretations. We are not saying they should not pray, but the issue is that from the scientific perspective, it's just a normal alignment or movement of natural bodies.
In Damascus in Syria, citizens gathered in Jalal Stadium to watch the event after the Syrian Astronomy Association invited people to monitor the eclipse. The American space agency NASA said the best eclipse view would have been visible somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean.
Pretty nice fella, kinda confused, got muscles in his head, ain't never been used, thinks he owns half of this town. Starts drinking heavy, gets a big red nose, beats his old lady with a rubber hose, then he takes her out to dinner, buys her new clothes, it's the way that the world goes round.
Nothing could have prepared them for what they have just been through. Super Typhoon Haiyan, a brutal storm bringing ferocious winds and rain to the Philippines. Everyone was heading for safety, but where was that during a storm where winds reached 195 miles per hour? Tacloban City on Leyte Island bore the brunt, with people reporting a wall of water up to their necks, some saying when they were on the second floor of their building. The surge of seawater strewn with debris levelled houses and drowned many. Officials now say 10,000 people have died on this island, but it's reported 300 are dead on neighbouring Samar. It's thought at least 70% of what was standing has been levelled, while on the ground, the horizon is blocked off by broken homes and shifted possessions, neighbourhoods unrecognisable from what they were before. Survivors are doing just that. This pregnant woman carries her pail. She tells a reporter she doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Many streets have become graveyards with bodies piled up at the side. They will be removed, but what is left is a major humanitarian crisis as officials try to help as many people as they can to rebuild their lives.
That's the way that the world goes round. You're up one day, the next you're down. It's happening to water and you think you're gonna drown. That's the way that the world goes round. Counting my toes when a radiator broke. Water all froze, I got stuck in the ice without my clothes, naked as the eyes of a clown. I was crying ice cubes, hoping I'd croak, but when the sun come through the window, the ice all broke. I stood up and laughed, thought it was a joke. It's the way that the world goes round.
We have got some pictures now that we are showing of the scientists monitoring events, and there is a picture of that rocket. It's due to go off at 8 minutes past the hour, so that's in about 30 seconds. This is the picture of the rocket. What rests on this? Because we have seen failed attempts from China and Japan. India's pride as a country around the world rests on this going well, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I think that really the first main goal is to prove that India can actually launch this satellite and allow it to make that massive long journey, 400 million kilometers to Mars. It's a tremendous technological achievement, and that's really the primary goal. There are, of course, there are instruments on board which are meant to measure and analyze data from the atmosphere of Mars to try and sense, for instance, if there's any possibility of life on Mars. But the primary objective really is to send out that signal that India can. And yes, of course, the Chinese attempt failed 2 years ago, so India's hoping it will succeed.
That's the way that the world goes round. You're up one day, the next you're down. It's half an inch of water and you think you're gonna drown. That's the way that the world goes round. Up one day, the next you're down, it's half an inch of water, and you think you're gonna drown. That's the way that the world goes round. That's the way that the world goes round. That's the way that the world goes round.
Olympic torch has been taken on a spacewalk for the first time in history. A pair of Russian cosmonauts took turns in gripping the silver and red torch and posing for the cameras. Special tethers were attached to the torch to prevent it from drifting away in the weightlessness of outer space. The footage was captured on cameras mounted on their spacesuit helmets and broadcast live on NASA's internet channel and Russia's state TV.
And they're currently 261 miles above the Earth.
The spacewalk was a showcase for the Sochi Winter Games, a crucial event for Russian President Vladimir Putin while in power. The torch is being returned to Earth on Monday and then carries on its journey to light the Olympic flame next February.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
I don't think I'm breaking any new ground when I say I've always viewed the Washington Monument as the nation's penis. As Freud would say, sometimes a giant penis-shaped monument in the middle of the nation's capital represents a giant penis. Anyway, as many of you may already know, the Washington Monument now has a large crack in it from an earthquake that some say could be due to hydrofracking. And now there's scaffolding covering the entire monument that kind of looks like a cast. So we might have broken our nation's dick from fracking too much. If it's true that we fracked our dick off, as a comedian, I weep at the beauty of that. But that's right, I think the Washington Monument is the nation's dick, the St. Louis Arch is our vagina, and the Chicago Bean is our ball sack. Don't deny it. You know I'm right. The key to life is everything in moderation. Except moderation. Get all of that shit you can. I don't often talk about my religious beliefs a lot. They're kind of unusual. I believe Jesus was the Son of God, but that he deserved what he got. Yeah, they're kind of rare religious beliefs. There's not a lot of us out there. You've heard of Jews for Jesus? Well, this is Dudes for Jesus had it coming. No, actually, I'm an atheist, which means I view the God as half empty. Some people believe God is everywhere, and he still couldn't manage to get me a birthday card. Really? That's no God at all. The other day, I was going to do a thought experiment, but I couldn't think of any. You can still get a hamburger for like a dollar, but a cup of coffee at a cafe costs at least $2. How is that possible? One of those things used to be a f***ing cow. Do the cows know how cheaply they're being sold? They're sluts, alright? They are cheap, cheap sluts. They're selling their bodies for next to nothing. But considering how we treat them, if the cows and pigs ever get their s*** together and revolt, I'm on their side, all right? I'll tell you that right now. If they ever barnyard commando it up, I'll turn my back on the human race so quick you wouldn't believe it. How long am I expected to defend the beings that came up with two broke girls, huh? The real question is, during the revolution, what will the pigs call the human police officers? A sex swing is really just a regular swing filled with naughtiness.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Wait, I... Ding, ding, ding. Uh-oh, looks like we're out of time. Goodbye.